This time on episode 237 of Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. The Honeymoon, Marvel News Roundup, and Listener Feedback.
I'm Kier from In Defense Of, a podcast member of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the one you're listening to now. The opinions expressed are those of each individual. Check out all the other podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com and get ready, because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
You have been granted clearance by Director Phil Coulson. Stand by for S.H.I.E.L.D. debriefing. All information to be discussed here is classified and may only be discussed among agents granted clearance by the S.H.I.E.L.D. director.
Now it's time for your scheduled debriefing. I'm Director SP.
I'm Agent Haley.
I'm Agent Lauren.
And I'm Consultant Michelle.
Welcome to a very confused Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. podcast, a Marvel Comic Universe fan show. This show is recorded on Sunday, April 15th, 2018, live from the Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. studios and broadcast galactic-wide via www.geeks.live. Ladies, happy National Titanic Remembrance Day.
Near, far.
I don't think there should be a happy in front of that. I mean, it was a tragedy beyond measure.
But can we go ahead and blame this confusion on Star Pie at the beginning because he changed the order of the names from the order they've been in for, you know, 200 some
episodes? No, that's not on me. That is not on me because you both have been vacant from this podcast for the last couple of weeks. So I just went on memory.
Remember the time I got really confused and called myself Agent Haley?
That was classic. All right. So I agree with Michelle that it shouldn't be happy. And that we should remember the victims of Titanic tragedy.
Poor Jack.
Yeah. Not the movie, the real people. Because it did happen in April.
Okay, funny story. When the movie came out, I, like many other little teenage girls, was super into it. But I was super into it because I watched the documentary on the making of it on HBO. And I was really into just how detailed it was, the movie. And so I went to go see it, and I get really into movies. I cry for, like, every movie. I cry for commercials. You all who follow me in the live tweets know I cry for everything. So when my dad came to pick me up after the movie, I'm bawling. I'm crying. So my dad's like, you knew how it's going to end. It's like, what, you think they're all going to live? And I'm like, that's not the point. The point was that it was a beautiful movie, and yes, it was played out, but it is a beautiful and very detailed movie.
So I need to point out that, Lauren, you said you went to see it when you were a teenager. I distinctly remember going to it with my wife when we had to get a babysitter. So I had a kid. I was married. I had a kid. And I went to go see Titanic, and you're a teenager.
You're old. I was in middle school, I think.
I am old. See, my other national day of choice, by the way, was Happy National Tax Day. And I didn't think that fit either.
My taxes are done.
Yeah, let's do the least sad of the two holidays and do the one where, like, hundreds of people died.
All right,
I'm
Agent.
Sorry.
Lauren, I think we know where you stand.
No, actually, taxes are the price that you pay for living in a society that is functional. And yes.
Functional is the key word. Okay.
Functional.
Let's continue on with the podcast. Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is a fan-based podcast on the ABC television show Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Marvel's Defenders over on Netflix, all the series over there. Legion on FX, possibly The Gifted on Fox if we ever get to it. The Marvel Cinematic Universe, and of course, the Marvel Comic Universe in general.
Because of learn-as-you-go surgery.
You'd like to talk to us about learning as you go when you do surgery? You can visit our website, legendsofshield.com.
You can call and leave us a voicemail about learn-as-you-go surgery, 844-THE-BUS-1. That's 844-843-2871.
You can absolutely not link us to live stream learn-as-you-go surgeries on Facebook at Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Podcast.
You can tweet us your story of doing surgery while reading an online manual at Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D.
You can watch us talk about do-it-yourself surgery at YouTube, youtube.com/gunnageek.
And remember, tell your Amazon device to enable Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. skill to listen to us talk about learn-as-you-go surgery.
And remember, Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is a proud member of the GunnaGeek.com network.
We have a full slate of agents this week. All four of us are together. And if we are indeed together again next week, that will have broken our 2018 streak of us actually all being on the podcast 2 weeks in a row. So we'll just wait and see if that really happens.
Yeah. FYI, if you inhale smoke, go see a doctor pretty much immediately. That has been your PSA for the day.
You should definitely do that.
Smoke inhalation is a real thing.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, and with that PSA, we're going to move on into the main topic. We're here to talk about the latest Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. episode, The Honeymoon. And with that title, Haley, what's up?
Well, this has been a season a lot about space. So, you know, a lot of things happen and things are said and, you know, zing, pow, straight to the moon. It's all about space travel.
The Honeymooners. Yeah, once again, you failed to watch the episode. Michelle, what was the episode about?
Well, as we know, Fitz and Simmons got married, and they are having the most unusual honeymoon. They're going to England. They're shooting up robots. It's an excellent way to have a honeymoon.
Isn't it a little bit of Mr. and Mrs. Smith going on there?
A little bit. A little bit.
All right. I'm all in. So, Lauren, with The Honeymoon and with Michelle's interpretation of what happened, who directed the episode?
Well, the episode was directed by Gary Brown, who has directed 8 episodes of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and he has 6 credits as a director, the previously mentioned 8 episodes of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., including Best Laid Plans, Identity and Change, The Singularity, a bunch of others. He's also directed 2 episodes of Prison Break, an episode of Walker, Texas Ranger, an episode of Who's the Boss. And amusingly to me, this is not a director credit, but he was a third-class alien in the movie Bad Taste, which was Peter Jackson's first movie.
Ooh, that's a really deep callback there. So, Haley, there were 2 writers of this episode. Who was the first writer?
So first up, we have James C. Oliver. This is our 5th time discussing him here on Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. because he has written 4 episodes of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and 2 episodes of the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Slingshot miniseries that was online. He also has a writing credit for an episode of Under the Dome.
Indeed. Now, Michelle, he does have a writing partner.
Yes, the partner is Sharla Oliver. This is the 6th discussion appearance of Sharla on Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Has 4 credits since 2015. 5 Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., 2 Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Slingshot, 1 Under the Dome, and 5 Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Double Agent.
Every time she comes up, I see the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Double Agent, and I have not found that anywhere. I haven't looked for it, but has anybody watched that?
I feel like I did, but I don't remember.
Well, that's not good. No, if you watch something and you don't remember watching it, that means it really wasn't great. It's like it wasn't great, but it wasn't bad. It was just meh.
Okay, I'm Googling right now to be like, okay, what is going on?
All right, well, I was just going to
I thought it was like a behind-the-scenes thing.
No, it's working for a shadowy figure known only as the Mastermind. He encounters series regular Ming-Na Wen. Okay, no, I don't remember this one.
Okay, so audience, if you have watched this Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. double agent thing that Sharla Oliver was a part of, if you could please let us know what you thought about it, we would appreciate it. So getting back to this episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., ABC aired the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 5, Episode 17, The Honeymoon, on Friday, April 13th, 2018, 20 minutes late due to preemptive national issues, and it still earned a live rating of 1.96. So congratulations. That's actually really good. That's slightly down from 2.04 the previous week with Inside Voice, but to start 20 minutes late, and this issue had been going on earlier in the evening as well, And to get where they are to 1.96, which is very comparable to wherever they were, that is really good. So congratulations, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., for weathering a national emergency.
Yeah, I feel like people needed a little bit of a pick-me-up after that. Yeah.
Yep, enough said about the national emergency. Other than I had to watch the rest of the episode because my DVR didn't record the whole thing because I wasn't watching live like Michelle, and she kind of goaded me about it. But I went to the ABC app to watch it, and once again, I found the ABC app failed on my computers, and it's probably due to my antivirus, which is probably not good that the ABC app is failing to stream because of an antivirus, which means they're doing something that they probably shouldn't, just saying. So I went to my Roku and watched it over there. So that's how I consumed the episode. Oh, the Roku, by the way, commercial lengths in between 3.5 minutes and 6 minutes.
Right, but that's not on Roku. That's still on ABC because they're the ones setting up their ads.
Right. That is not Roku. It is the ABC app on Roku. So absolutely correct. All right, to get into the episode, Michelle, I'm assuming you watched it with your mom.
Well, I wasn't able to watch it with her, but she has watched it. First, she was grateful that I actually recorded the hour after so she could actually watch the entire episode. I was a good daughter.
Way to go.
You know, I did that for her. And she's continuing to enjoy the season. It's all that whole, it's intense. I need to know more. Where is it going? I can't wait for next week.
Good. So she's still all in. She's still intrigued. She still wants to see everything. That's good to know. And that is our barometer because she is not what we would call a geek and into it. She's just watching it for the entertainment value. So I'm glad she's getting some entertainment value. So we're going to move on to talk about Lauren's favorite subject regarding the show, the
science babies. So this was a really cute moment that we have the science babies having busted Fitz out of prison. And there is a callback to the whole parachuting thing in, what was it, season one?
Yep.
Early season in one. Season one, too.
Way early in season one. And it was just a really cute moment. Oh, man, I really do need to do just a full rewatch. But yes, they're being adorable. And it was just a sweet little moment between them. It's like, everything's going to be okay. They're going to work everything out. It's going to be fine.
Or that's how we know that they've changed the timeline, is one of them gets killed.
Oh!
The look Lauren just gave me.
It can't be Simmons, because then we'd have Deke go bye-bye, which he almost did this week. We'll get to that in a bit. But yeah, the science babies, Fitz said they've come a long way. We're saying they're all grown up. You know, either way you look at it, it's been an interesting ride with them, especially since Fitz has basically become a supervillain.
Yeah, he's become, okay, he went from, you know, innocent little science baby to, he's had this journey where he basically became Hannibal Lecter in another life, but he's back and he's still sort of our Fitz, but he still has that Hannibal Lecter Fitz living inside of him. So what they're doing with him, it's so interesting to me. So to probably nobody's surprise, I really love listening to true crime stuff, especially things about like how people catch serial killers. And there was this whole thing when they were trying to catch the BTK killer where they kept going to Ted Bundy and trying to interview him and asking about what would you have done in this situation? And that's kind of what they're doing here. It was the whole real life Hannibal Lecter in Silence of the Lambs thing, trying to ask somebody with a similar mentality, what would be going through your head to try to catch somebody who has that similar mentality? Because they have the evil Fitz on the inside of the Fitz that they know they can trust, they're using that. And that is, I love that. I mean, I feel very bad for Fitz that he has that evil Fitz inside of him. But come on, that's like, you have your own little pocket Hannibal Lecter there. It's great. You have that whole, okay, well, you know, when I was evil, here's what I would have done.
Yeah, the problem comes when he actually executes on some of that evilness.
Well, yeah, but that's why you have the good Fitz to counter the evil Fitz.
There wasn't a good Fitz 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago.
The whole thing there was he was having a stress flare up. And that's why you have to have a support network there. And now that we know that he's having these issues, we can have Simmons there. We can have Yo-Yo there. We can have people there that he can talk to about, hey, I'm having these issues. And now that they know that he knows that they know that he's having these issues, he can talk to them about it.
But he doesn't think what he did a couple weeks ago was wrong. Like, that's not just like evil Fitz versus good Fitz. That's good Fitz understanding how evil Fitz thinks and kind of agreeing sometimes.
Yeah, and unfortunately, that situation was still like, we had this and we needed to do this thing.
And now he's kind of infecting Simmons a little bit because they make the decision to go off on this mission and eventually they get captured at the end of it. But the one thing that I was going to say about it is they have now made the decision not to leave each other's side. Now, I don't know if the new Neo Hydra is going to let them separate or not, or be together or not, but...
Okay, I love the whole... Okay, well, we basically can't die. I love that whole thing because you have that tension of, but they're trying to change the timeline. So what if they do die? But then it's just this completely ridiculous situation happens. They're surrounded. They're kind of resigned to, well, we're probably going to die because... We have Simmons who's like, yeah, we can't die. And they're like, but what if we do? And then all of a sudden, all the robots stop. It's this weird, you don't want them to die, but at the same time, you want them to change the timeline. So it's that weird tension that you have going there. And it's a really interesting storytelling device because one of these things, I've seen so many things where you have that whole, well, you know, the heroes are protected via this weird plot shield, so there's no tension. But because they're trying to change the timeline, you have that tension. You guys, I'm very stressed.
In the last couple of weeks, we basically come out and said that we assume that there's going to be some deaths along the way. Of course, the whole Coulson dying thing, that is permeating above everything. We're pretty sure that's going to happen. But the question is, who else is going to have to die along the way? It could be Yo-Yo, could be Fitz, it could be a cornucopia of players on the board right now, and I hope it's not anybody, but it's probably going to happen in order to change the future. And we're pretty much of the mindset that the future is going to be changed, because I don't think that the Marvel Cinematic Universe, which this is a part of, can go on if the Earth doesn't exist anymore. So
I have some thoughts.
Oh yeah, the temporal time stuff. So go ahead. Okay. Let's talk about temporal mechanics.
So the theory that Fitz was about to explain and then got cut off by Simmons is that all of time and space exists, and then we just perceive parts of it as we perceive it. So that's how we understand time, is our perception of it, but it all exists. Lost did a very good job of explaining this. You know, whatever has happened, happened. It can't be changed because that is time. It exists. It's as immutable as any other thing in the universe. But there's another thing that comics have explored a lot, which is the idea of a multiverse. So maybe the future that our team saw isn't actually the future of this Earth that they're on. Maybe it's the future in another dimension. So it's what could be, but not necessarily what happens in this universe.
And that's interesting, especially with Deke coming over as well, because Deke is backed up that it actually happened.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, or it could be sort of like a flashpoint situation where when they actually do change it, they actually create that different timeline. Like when Barry goes back in time to save his mom, it creates this whole offshoot and then he lives that, but then he has to go back and fix it. But in this case, they're not going to go back. They're just going to create this alternate path.
Well, talking about the temporal mechanics and what they've already experienced and what future Yo-Yo has told current Yo-Yo, Yo-Yo currently has now come out and told somebody what she has learned from the future in whichever multiverse it is in, and basically says, we have to let Coulson die. So that is now out. It's only to the two people which are now captured by Hydra, but she has let the genie out of the bottle, finally.
And that's sort of already started, right? Because Daisy, when she's been leading, all she's cared about is saving Coulson, and all those events lead to the fight with Ruby and Ruby meeting Coulson, and Ruby then wanting to defy her mother because she learns that her mom actually wants to put Quake in the chamber. Yeah, so it's one of those things. Has that chain already started because Daisy is obsessed with saving Olsen?
And that was a very interesting level of events because May has been monitoring the decisions that Daisy has been making. And she is okay with Daisy being in charge. Basically came out and said, yes, I realize that she is in charge, but she counsels Coulson that this is not going well and you don't get to make these decisions alone when you're dying. You need to make them with the people that you love. And oh, by the way, I love you. Yeah, there you go.
Yes, I screamed. I was happy.
I thought that might shut you up.
That was a hell of a mic drop. It was great. And then Coulson's face just like, wait, what?
But it does get back to Daisy and the decisions that she is making. I think the whole crux of it is surrounding Daisy. You know, interestingly enough, we had some feedback a couple of weeks ago, which said that they didn't believe that Daisy was really being a pivotal person or used well in a pivotal character and used well in the season. Yet she is the linchpin for everything that's going on because of the decisions she's making with the team and what the team is doing with and without her. So all very interesting. Now, you did talk about Ruby for a little bit, and there's a couple things with Ruby going on. First of all, her fascination with Quake, she just wants to beat her mentor, so to speak, you know, beat your hero. And she's going after her mom now, too. So interesting dynamic going on with Ruby.
Yeah, we saw, you know, the first time we're introduced to Ruby, we see the Quake poster on her wall. And we think, oh, wow, okay, she admires Quake. No, it turns out she has that poster there to kind of spur her on to beat Quake. So we're getting a bit of hint of the psychology of Ruby, which is a very upsetting, not very healthy place. Of course, her mom raised her to be a weapon. Her mom was basically forced into having her. This is not a healthy relationship in any way.
How old do you think Ruby is supposed to be?
Teenager, definitely, I think.
Yeah, I'd say 17.
17 to 19, I would think.
I agree.
So you have this person who's been brought up in essentially a cult-like environment, focused on one thing, told one thing, and all of a sudden finding out that, you know, their kind of worldview is a bit shaken. Oh, your mom wants to put somebody else through this thing that was your entire reason for being. So yeah, it's shaken her. She doesn't have the best parental relationship there anyway, because like we said, she was brought up as a more of a concept than a person.
Yeah, we don't know how much Hale has actually parented versus Hydra has parented. That's an interesting thing, especially since she's an active duty general. She probably didn't have a lot of time at home with an active career going on.
Yeah, hell, she's brought up in a compound. I mean, that tells you something. And then in this episode, we find out all the stuff that she was allowed kind of to be individual in her room and everything is taken away from her when she misbehaves. And okay, it's one thing when you're just a normal teenager and you're grounded. I mean, that happened to me. You know, you mess up, your parents come in and kind of take all your stuff. And
well, she still had her furniture in. Hale didn't do what the typical parent does and takes the door off the hinge.
No, yeah. She deadlocks the door instead.
Yeah, she deadlocks the door instead. It's more of a cell than, you know, no privacy. I mean, she still has no privacy because she's living in a compound. But here, you know, the thing that spurred her on is gone. The stuff that she's allowed to kind of remind her of her individuality is gone. It's a step beyond normal grounding. It is kind of a reminder that she's not an individual. It's sort of dehumanization.
She's an engineered, bioengineered being.
Yes.
Is she bioengineered, though, or is it, you know, they took the best that Hydra had to offer and it's more eugenics?
Which is, it's still a form of bioengineering. Yeah. It's just,
I'm wondering if we're going to learn more about her parentage, if that's going to be a reveal that's yet to come.
I'm betting it's going to have something to do with Whitehall. Because the thing is, okay, So there's a thing that's been happening. People find out more about it in the news. And there was a case recently in the news where you find out that people at sperm banks and stuff, they'll find out who... There was a case recently with like 23andMe mm-hmm. where somebody found out that their father was actually the fertility doctor. And you find this out all the time. And it wouldn't surprise me if Whitehall considered himself, oh, I am the best. I am obviously the best. So he was the one who was, you know, the donor. So that would not surprise me if she was, because there, again, it's an ego component there. So it wouldn't surprise me if she's Whitehall's biological daughter with maybe some genetic tweaks there or something. But again, there, it's an ego component. And in cults, in cases like these, there's people who find themselves in these positions of power often are drawn to it because, I'm trying to figure out a way to put this. I can't figure out a way to put this right now. Anyway, Whitehall is a terrible was a terrible garbage person. It wouldn't surprise me if he consolidated this pretty much just so that he could continue his line in whatever fashion he could, decided, hey, I am obviously the pinnacle person, and this whole project was to extend his line in this way because he was horrible.
Right. Well, and he, remember, that would give her a tie to Daisy because his long life came from the experiments he had done on Daisy's mother.
Yes. So it absolutely would not surprise me if we find out later on that Whitehall was the donor. And I feel so sorry for Ruby, but she's also terrible.
Yeah.
Well, I know Reed Diamond has some availability on his schedule since he was just, spoiler alert, recently killed off and designated survivor, rather graphically and explosively. But yeah, he won't be there anymore. So he's available for flashbacks on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Absolutely. All right. Now I want to talk, we touched upon it briefly, but I want to talk about the fight between Ruby and Quake, because that was amazing choreography, fight choreography, as usually. It wasn't in a dark room. It was out in a snowy, well, it was really a set, but a snowy mountainside. So it was very lit, and those two went at it. And it was, I wish the fight would have been more choreographed, but it was just fun seeing them out and not shaky cam, not in a dark alley or anything, but they were legitimately going after each other. And I think pretty much it was kind of a draw in the end. I mean, I know that Ruby got knocked out, but they were both making hits on each other.
Yeah, I think this won't be the last time that we see them fight. I think we're probably due at least one more before the end of the season.
Well, do you think Quake is going to take her? Or do you think Yo-Yo is going to exact some revenge?
I wonder if Ruby gets infused with the gravitonium, if the gravitonium Ruby versus Quake is what shatters the Earth.
Oh, that could be. And it's not, it wouldn't just be Ruby. It would be Ruby and the doctor and Ian Quinn. Franklin Hall, Dr. Franklin Hall and Ian Quinn are still in there. So, yeah, would be interesting. Also, as a result of that, General Hale is actually out in the field and she shoots Deke.
Well, Deke was stupid. Daisy was like, go with them, keep them safe. And he's all like coming back with a gun. This is Quake. She's got this. You need to just go follow orders. Instead, he interferes, gets himself shot, and then Quake can't capture Ruby. Instead, she's got to drag his sorry butt back to the plane.
But it's all okay because he wants to take his mouth and put it on her mouth and move it around a little bit.
Only if she's okay with that. Which was very considerate, and I like that the writers put that in.
Yep. I would also like, if we did that again next week, have Deke all hopped up on drugs.
That was hilarious.
And Mac and Piper's reactions. Like,
that was so good. So I'm biased because I like the actress who plays Piper, but I'm glad that we're having her, you know, redeem herself from her little screw up.
Little?
Again, I'm biased.
I think you are placing more blame on her than she deserves. Like, in the position that she was in, she made the best decision she could with the information she had.
Agreed.
I don't fault her decision up to the point where she actually meets the team. At that point in time, she needs to flip and say, oh my gosh, this is what's happening. We need to get out now. It's a trap.
No, she didn't know it was a trap. Like, she thought they were going to get taken in and rolled into whatever Operation Hill had going on.
For the record, I like the actress. I think the character is definitely bordering on non-redeemable.
She's redeemable.
She's trying so hard. She's like, okay, I did like half of the course, so she's there.
I haven't read the chapter on anesthesia yet.
Yeah. Which, by the way, good on her for not just kind of willy-nilly drugging this guy up, because
yeah, anesthesia is the most dangerous part of surgery.
It really is. I once, okay, so funny story. When I was in college, this happened to me twice. I walked into the wrong final. And the second time it happened to me was in an anesthesiology final. And I sat there and I looked at all the problems and I was like, I have no idea what any of this is, because it was all the patient. It was a veterinary class. And it was like, the patient is this, you know, weight and how much do you do of like isoflurane? And I'm like, I didn't study this. I don't know what this is. And I asked the TA, what class is this? And they told me, I was like, oh no, no, I was supposed to be for another class. I was supposed to be there for microbiology. This was not microbiology.
We're four adults here, and I'm assuming all four of us have taken some sort of post-secondary education classes along the way, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Haley, Michelle, have you ever walked in to the wrong final?
Not the final, but definitely the wrong class, like especially at the beginning of the semester. Sat there for like 5 minutes. I was like, this does not sound like philosophy.
Okay, I get like the first class or the first week or something like that, but the final?
Well, that's easy to happen because a lot of times finals are taking place at a different time and place than your class would take place.
Yeah. Or like, okay, the first time it happened, I went there the day before the final was supposed to take place. I sat down. Some professor I'd never seen said it was an honor to have been teaching us all. I was like, what class is this? They told me. I was like, oh, no, mine is tomorrow. So I went back to my room and went to sleep. And then like 2 years later was the incident where I accidentally walked into the anesthesiology instead of microbiology. But both of them, by the way, were 8 a.m. finals. So that's my excuse.
Did you actually go to the correct final eventually?
Yes, I did. Because again, they were both just like a day off.
Did you get a grade for the test that you had taken in the wrong final?
I did not, because I sat down, realized this is not my class, and then went to the TA and was like, I am in the wrong final.
Incredibly brave of you. I think I would have just walked out. All right. Learn something new every week with Lauren.
I still have stress dreams about college, okay?
All right. So Mac is operating on Deke just by being told what to do, and he's figuring it out.
Okay. He's got steady hands.
Okay. You know, yeah. I know Piper hasn't read the entire book, but I'm sure chapter one was wash your hands, get into the right gear, and oh yeah, by the way, wear a mask.
That, oh my God, that bothered me so much.
They're actors and they're pretty. They can't wear masks.
I know, but it...
Hey, ER actors wore masks and they put a mask on George Clooney. So if they yeah. did that, then Mac and Piper can have masks, because now Deke is going to die of some sort of infection.
Just so many infections. So
okay,
many.
So Mac is a mechanic. Did you expect him to like start taking out parts so he could get a better look at them?
What does this
do? That literally happened. Okay, so not to me. I love marathoning vet shows on like National Geographic Wild. And yesterday there was one that I was watching where they were doing surgery on a pig. And they were like, what is this? So they took it out. It was like there was a pig that had a hernia. They thought it was an intersex pig. And they're like, no, it just has a hernia. So then they start stuffing stuff back and they're like, what's this? And they look and it's like, oh, a uterus on the outside of the hernia. So they're like, okay, well, we'll just do a spay while we're here. And then they're like, wait, what's this? And then there's like one testicle and one ovary. So they're like, oh, it was intersex the whole time. But they just kind of had to start like moving stuff around. So it kind of was like that. So sometimes it does happen is what I'm saying.
I guess. All right. So anyway, Mac successfully completes the surgery. So good on you, Mac. way to step in for the missing Simmons for the week. He did really good there. And I think Deke's screwed up enough that he doesn't need his insides to be
on the outside.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be bad. All right. So Ruby basically cages Hale. I'm pretty sure she's going to get out at some point in time and she's going to be pissed and she's going to go after her daughter.
Yeah. So that whole scene where Ruby's talking to Hale, at first I'm like, this is actually really sad because this could be an honest, genuine moment between somebody who realizes that their childhood and their whole relationship with their mother was not the best. But I'm 100% sure she's manipulating her. And guess what? Was right.
I think she manipulated her with the truth, because that's the best way to manipulate someone.
Very true.
I thought she was going to stab her in the stomach.
I also thought that was going to happen and was very surprised when it didn't. So I think, yeah, there was a little bit of that whole I care for you, because if she didn't, she would have killed her.
Mm-hmm. I thought she was going to kill her. Like, you're my... So spoiler alert for anyone that hasn't seen Star Wars, the one from a while ago.
Kyle Ron, yes.
Yeah. So that's what I was expecting. Like, you're what's tying me down. You're what's holding me back. I love you. So that's my weakness. So boom.
Yeah. Thought she was going to get shanked.
Yeah, I did.
Yep.
I did. I was very surprised that she didn't. So General Hale lives. Hail Hydra.
I think Hale being alive is going to somehow be what defeats Ruby at the end. Because again, they're each other's weakness.
I think it's interesting that Hale is promising everybody a turn in the chamber. Because Ivanov was like, I can't wait to get in that chamber. Oh, okay. Wow.
And you get a turn in the chamber. And you get a turn in the chamber.
Did anybody else take a look at that chamber and see the exact chamber that is in Captain America, the First Avenger?
It's obviously supposed to be reminiscent of that, because didn't they even comment on that a few episodes ago?
Yeah, it's supposed to be based off of that idea with what happened to Captain America.
Yeah, it looked same color, same shape, same everything. It looked like the same thing. So, yeah. Well, by the way, I called it. Yo-Yo's arms do not work at super speed.
Yeah.
That was a concern of mine. So I hope they find a solution to that. Otherwise, I don't know if her super speed is going to be of value anymore, because if she can't use her hands while she's running around, then what good is it?
Well, Fitz said he could recalibrate them.
I hope they can.
Yeah, you can figure out a way to recalibrate them. You can, I mean, there's workarounds. People figure out workarounds and stuff all the time. I mean, run around barefoot and use your toes?
Well, this is where Max saying, like, slow down and take some time to get used to it. Like, maybe he had a point, dude.
Well, we all think Yo-Yo's being a little bit reckless with this whole thing, so...
No. Yeah, she needs to talk to someone right now. She really does.
Mm-hmm. So, a couple of final things with the episode. First of all, when the Zephyr 1 was flying around earlier on, I was taking a look at the CGI going, wow, that is amazing, because they're doing the little contrail thing as it's flying around in the mountains with the condensation coming off the wingtops and the jet engine inlets that are on the top and stuff like that. I just thought that was incredibly detailed, and I appreciate the CGI for Zephyr 1. By the way, if anybody knows of a drone copy of Zephyr 1, let me know, because I would love to get a hold of it and fly it around a little bit. I'll still call it the bus, but it'd be cool flying around Zephyr 1.
Can you like build your own? Because I remember those Russian guys that did it with a dead cat. I imagine you could build your own.
God.
What? You never seen the dead cat drone? They also, I think, did it with like an ostrich.
The Russian post office also flew a drone right into a brick wall.
Yeah, people, these Russian guys, like their cat died and they were really into drones. So they taxidermied the cat into a drone, and it's interesting.
Oh, wow. I thought it was just, taxidermied.
Yeah, it's a taxidermy drone cat.
Okay, that's weird.
That's not creepy at all.
I want to say somebody did the same to a dead ostrich.
People, stop it.
I thought it was just like a model.
Yeah, here's the ostrich copter. All you had to do, look up ostrich drone or ostrich copter.
No. Okay, my mind is set on Zephyr 1 drone. So if anybody knows about a Zephyr 1 drone, let me know. Everything else is just weird me out right now. Okay.
Oh, wow, there's a shark. There are so many taxidermy animals.
That would be useful for the Sharknado 5 or whatever is coming out this summer.
6, and it's the final one.
Sure. I'll believe that when I see it.
That is horrifying.
It's cool. I understand I'm weird.
First step is admitting the issue. Okay. So let's move on to the final point for the episode. Talbot has been programmed, which we all should have seen coming. I didn't. I thought he was too broken, but compliance will be rewarded.
That was heartbreaking.
It is.
And again, it was a callback to way earlier.
Yeah. I was thinking when he was on the screen going, wow, this is a lot of screen time he's getting for somebody that was not supposed to really come back to the series. And now I see why he's being used as a fifth column. And it's not the poor man has suffered way too much. Michelle, do you think so?
Oh, definitely. And when he finally comes out of it, Talbot is someone who is dedicated to his country and despises Hydra. And when he realizes that he was brainwashed and made to comply with Hydra, that might completely break him.
He's kind of already completely broken. He thinks he's getting better, but I'm pretty sure he's broken.
It's just so sad.
Barry, I really feel for Talbot. He's really grown on me.
Yeah.
Is he grown on you or is the mustache grown on you?
It's a beard now.
Yeah, it's a beard.
Well, mustache is part of the beard.
But it's not the same.
I was always a fan of the stash, but now I'm a fan of the stash and the entire character.
Yeah, it's a beard of sadness now, and it's... No, all of these characters, you go back and you look from where they started, and there's just so much character growth. And with Talbot, it's this guy that, yeah, he was kind of a stuffed shirt, and, you know, as you get to know him, yeah, there's that... His whole thing was, I think I am doing the right thing. And now... He tried so hard. His whole thing was Coulson is going to save me. And he did, but too late. And now he's an unwitting pawn, unwilling pawn. And this is just horrifying. And it's so sad. And I want him to break out of it. I want him to somehow be able to hint to them what's going on. But I don't know if he'll be able to. It's, oh God, I want to see what's going to happen with him. I really, really, and the fact that Adrian Pazdar is such a good actor and is, you guys, I'm having a lot of feelings right now.
Yeah, I was going to say, Adrian Pazdar played the no filter thing really well. Like, his voice didn't have a filter, his emotions didn't have a filter or anything like that, but he still has the emotions of his connections to his family, wants to talk to his sons sort of thing. So it is heartbreaking, really.
Yeah, I don't know if you've ever known or if you've ever had or known anybody who's had a traumatic brain injury, but he's playing that so well.
What about the scene where he and Daisy met face to face? That was the first time.
That was heartbreaking with the whole, like, I know it wasn't you, but like, again, the memory is still there and he's still reacting to it and he can't help it.
Did you catch the BSG reference, by the way?
The skin jobs.
All right, let's not forget that the aliens are still on their way. Of course, it's taking them a really long time to get here, and I just hope that's because space is really, really big, but aliens
are coming.
It's taking
them as much time to get here as it will for Infinity War to get here, which is soon, really soon.
Like next week.
Oh my God, it's going to be like the best birthday present ever.
And we're pretty sure that Coulson dying thing is going to come up pretty soon, and... Yeah, there's just some stuff that's headed our way. So we're bracing for impact for the end of the season. And hopefully not the end of the series, but it still could be. No renewal actual indications yet. There have been rumors, but no actual decisions. So we're going to close this section off by rating the episode. And today I've decided we're going to rate the episode in terms of the number of mechanics that have turned into surgeons, 1 to 10. That's what we're going to rate. So... I will start with Michelle. How would you rate the episode?
I think it was a very solid episode. An 8.
Okay. Solid. 8. Haley?
I think probably the same thing. Probably going to go 8. 8. Yep.
All right. Solid 8. Lauren?
I would have to say the same. Yeah, yeah, eight.
Eight. And I will say 8.5.
Gotta be different.
8.5 because we found out Deke wants to put his mouth on Daisy's mouth and move it around as long as she's okay with it. There you go. So basically an 8 for the episode from the Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. crew. Looking forward to next week. By the way, next week, April 22nd, we'll be discussing the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. 106th episode, which is the 18th episode in the season 5, All Roads Lead. So we will see about All Roads Lead. Meantime, if you're out searching for more geeky content and you just don't have enough Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. back catalog to keep you interested, we have an entire geeky network for people to go and catch some other stuff. Right, Michelle?
Yes, the GunnerGeek.com network has over 20 podcasts. One of them is the Operation Pug podcast. Podcast episode 57, the big announcement cast. An exciting announcement from Operation Pug, plus video games, movies, and why phasers are the cruelest weapons of all. So you can listen to that. Again, that's Operation Pug podcast, episode 57.
First off, we have a very sad story. Stan Lee is suing his former business manager for elder abuse.
Have y'all talked about all the stuff going on with Stan Lee lately?
Yep.
Because it's... Yeah.
So much drama. Yeah.
The whole blood signature last week was pretty...
Yeah. There was an article that I think the Hollywood Reporter put out recently about the stuff going on with his daughter and a former business manager.
Just like all of the people around him.
Yeah. And it's just really, really bad. And then IO9 reported just yesterday, which would be the 14th, that a suit was filed on Friday, the 13th, in the Los Angeles Superior Court, that an associate of Stan Lee's daughter, J.C. Lee, Gerardo Olivares, is being sued for elder abuse. And it's confusing and it's really sad and upsetting. And this is the second time in the past year that a creator that I like has been suing for elder abuse. The other one being Peter Beagle, the writer of The Last Unicorn. And it's really, I mean, guys, protect the elderly, please.
Yeah. And dealing with some elder parent issues right now. And it's definitely not something I would want anybody to go through what Stan Lee is going through. That is just, wow. Our elderly actually need as much protection as we give our young children. And I don't think he's getting that.
Especially when money gets involved, people get all kinds of weird. And it sounds like there's a lot of family drama and there's a lot of business drama. And again, the fact that this is going through in public, it's just really, really gross and upsetting.
A lot of times people get wind of what's in or what is not in the will, and then they start executing based on their perceptions of what they feel entitled to. And from my perspective, you're not entitled to anything that a family member has. If they want to give you something, great. If not, go on your life with whatever. But yeah, wow. Stan Lee needs some help. So if you're in a position to give Stan Lee help, please give him some help.
All right. Next up, we've got some news about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. We know when the finale is going to take place, which is Friday, May 18th at 9 p.m., and it will be a one-hour finale.
Okay, I admit I was wrong. But you also agreed that you thought it was going to be 2 hours.
I mean, I thought with everything going on with the season, with how little time they had to do it, that it would be a two-hour finale.
Yep, I'll be fine with it, though. What am I going to do, not watch it?
So we have a good month left of S.H.I.E.L.D. That's good.
Yeah. Next up, we've got some news about our Netflix shows. Jessica Jones has been renewed for a third season. I still haven't seen season 2.
Me either. I was thinking of watching it while I was couch bound, and then I ended up napping a whole lot instead.
Yep.
But yes, Jessica Jones renewed for season 3. This is cool. I like Jessica Jones. So,
Michelle, you've seen season 2 of Jessica Jones, right?
Yes, I have.
Okay, I think you're the only one out of the four of us. And sadly, I think if I'm going to watch a Netflix series, and I really don't have time to do it until a few weeks from now, but Lost in Space has grabbed my attention. So that will be the one that I go and gravitate towards first. But I'm a sci-fi guy, so can't really blame me for that.
We can.
We
will. We can and we will. Now do you.
I was going to say, I edit you on this podcast. So.
Yeah, I've been trying to finish up The Alienist, so.
So, finally, we've got some news about the X-Men universe. The New Mutants is still happening, and it will be a full-fledged horror movie.
So, it was supposed to have been out this month, and then got pushed back to next year. And it's going through reshoots and stuff. And the reshoots are going to play up its horror elements and add another character, which I'm hoping is Cheyenne, who is one of the actual original New Mutants from the comic, who is a Vietnamese lesbian, and she's awesome and one of my favorite characters. And it's been rumored that as much as 50% of the movie could be reshot.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't think that's as bad as the Solo movie, though. Wasn't that like 90% reshoot?
I don't know how much of it was reshot, but enough of it was so that Ron Howard is, I think, getting sole director credit.
Yeah, well, I think technically the other two could be getting director's credits just by the amount of scenes that they have filmed, the amount of footage that they have filmed. But yeah, they're not getting, they're getting a executive producer credit, but they're not getting a director's credit yet.
Yeah, there's all sorts of like rules on how much stuff needs to be there for writers to get credit and for directors to get credit. And Ron Howard's done enough of it that he's, I think it's like more than 50%, something like that. But yeah, New Mutants is getting a lot of reshoots. We'll see what happens. I'm really hopeful because I really like the New Mutants and I'm curious about an X-Men horror movie, but I'm also at this point kind of cautious.
Yeah, I like the branching out into a different type of movie. We've seen it with Deadpool. We've seen it with Logan. We've seen it with a few of the properties, Wonder Woman. But horror is not my thing. So if it truly is a horror movie, I'm probably not going to go see this. It's just me.
All right. And the last thing we're going to talk about today is Comic Palooza.
So we've been talking about this every year for a while now. We've been part of the Comicalooza podcast program, and this year there are some amazing guests coming that I've been squealing about on Twitter. Speaking of Jessica Jones, Kristen Ritter is going to be there, Charlie Cox, so we have Jessica Jones and Daredevil. Michael Chiklis, The Thing from the early 2000s Fantastic Four movie. We have a bunch of non-Marvel people, including Joe Manganiello from True Blood, and he was in Marvel, though. He was Flash Thompson in the 2001 Spider-Man movie. Edward James Olmos, James Marsters from Runaways. Somebody that I freaked out about. You remember when we talked for like 20 minutes about the costumes in Black Panther?
Yep.
Ruth E. Carter, costume designer for Black Panther, is going to be there. We have Scotty Young, who, speaking of New Mutants and stuff, he was the artist for one of my favorite runs on New X-Men, which isn't New Mutants exactly, but it was kind of inspired by it. And just so many good writers and artists and actors, and just, it's been a lot of fun every year. We're going to try to get you some good content from there. So if you're in the Houston area or want to be in the Houston area in May, from May 25th through 27th, yeah, start looking forward to that.
Hmm. Yeah, we'll see what you're able to grab from that. And if anything else, Lauren, I just hope you have fun. If you're in the Texas area, if you're in the Houston area, go check this out. It seems to be a growing thing with a lot of big names headed towards it every year.
Yep, this is Comic Palooza 10.
10 or X?
X technically, but the X stands for 10.
Well, true.
X gonna give it to you.
I'm just wondering, because the whole iPhone thing is, you know, technically iPhone X and iPhone 10, whatever. All right, we're going to move on into some feedback.
All right, we have some feedback from Twitter this week. So from our friend of the show at Mr. Paracletes, the scariest part is this list looks entirely too accurate. And it is a thing that somebody did made in the night. If Avengers was made in the 90s, and it's a whole list of if the Avengers was made in the 90s, who people would be. So there's like Brad Pitt as Captain America.
There is so much floppy hair.
Oh my God, I know. Alicia Silverstone as Scarlet Witch. I'm kind of just glimpsing through.
Leonardo DiCaprio as Spider-Man.
John Stamos as Winter Soldier.
Matthew Broderick as Ant-Man.
Keanu Reeves as Doctor Strange. Keith that. David as Nick Fury. I would love that, actually.
Dolph Lundgren as Thor. That's an interesting one. I mean,
that would be so cool. Winona Ryder as Mantis would be kind of interesting.
I was about to say, I was almost surprised Ron Perlman wasn't Thanos, because right? He can do it now still.
He could. Black Widow, Mila Jovovich. That would be interesting.
Cuba Gooding Jr. as War Machine.
Yeah. Yes. Eddie Murphy as Falcon.
I totally get Denzel Washington as Black Panther.
Brendan Fraser as Star-Lord would be really cool, actually.
David Duchovny as Hulk.
Joe Pesci as Rocket.
Halle Berry as Gamora. I could see that.
Oh, man. Ethan Hawke as Vision. How do we not get Ethan Hawke as Hawkeye? Instead, we get Christian Slater as Hawkeye. I'd say, no, that could work.
Brendan Fraser as Star-Lord. He could do that now. I mean,
right?
Probably not.
Have
in
you
shape
seen Brendan Fraser lately?
Yeah, I know. He's not in shape.
But still, I'm just in favor of Brendan Fraser.
Joe Pesci as Rocket Raccoon. That would be tough. You know, the first thing that they do in prison?
Oh, my God.
I'm not going to finish that, but it's from Lethal Weapon.
I used to love Lethal Weapon.
Actually, Lethal Weapon 3 is the quote is from. Yeah. Is it 3 or 2? One of the
two. Two, I think.
Okay.
Anyway. We also have, from friend of the cast, at Adonna Girl, they've made a Coulson Inspector Gadget reference. How long until somebody says, go, go, Robo Yo-Yo? Come on, they're missing out on the opportunity there. And again, from Facebook, Christy said, so this was in response to the whole Marvel put out a timeline of all the movies leading up to Avengers Infinity War. And we asked, do you agree with this? Christy said, just to make things easier, I've put my Marvel DVDs and Blu-rays in alphabetical order. Star Wars is much less complicated to put in chronological order. To which Haley, on the show, Haley, said, mine are in order of release date. I've always believed that to be the proper order to watch pretty much everything. So how do y'all do it? We know how Haley does hers.
I do it by chronological date, yeah, of release, because that's the order in which I would want to watch them.
I had been doing mine by chronological, but right now everything is just kind of haphazardly strewn about.
It's like 20, so it's a big chunk of your shelf space. And
yeah, like I have right now, everything is just kind of on my end tables.
Michelle?
When it comes to Marvel release date and then Star Wars, I have put in numerical order.
Yeah, Star Wars, mine is chronological. Marvel, I would try to have it by a release date, I think, but...
Oh, if we're talking Star Wars. Now, Star Wars is not release date for me. It's numerical. I do the one through...
Yes.
So
the one
can
through.
I tell you what my monster of a brother does?
Oh, no.
They're in alphabetical order, but just all through his DVD collection, not grouped together.
Oh, no.
Well, I could see. I mean, if you were looking for a movie and you knew the title, I could see that being, I know where to go get that.
That's inappropriate. I have those like cube bookshelves for my movies.
Yeah.
So I have like a cube set aside for Lord of the Rings, and there's a cube for, well, there's like two cubes now for Marvel stuff.
That's how you do it.
Yep.
And then like all the stuff that's not in, okay, like all my Lord of the Rings ones, they'll be there. Like as Lord of the Rings, but in, you know, the proper order, Fellowship, Towers.
Yeah, well, the movies I really like get, you know, higher priority cubes up at the top. And then after that, you get to the bulk of the DVD collection, which is in alphabetical order.
Any of mine that are in more of three go in their own separate place. Anything that is three or less go in alphabetical order. But like Lord of the Rings goes in like L in.
Yes.
In the larger thing. So.
I'm selling out, though. I'm selling out to Movies Anywhere and Vudu. So I still get the digital or the actual hard copy, the physical copy, so that I can redeem it on Movies Anywhere, and then it will be available anywhere. But that's where I'm starting to maintain my collection, Movies Anywhere.
Yeah, I use that a lot.
It's because it's a lot easier, and I don't have to maintain all these DVDs everywhere. I can actually put them in a box in the basement and just leave them there. Am I the only one that's digital in here?
Yeah, I'm lazy. I don't redeem them as much as I should.
I always redeem them as soon as they come in. But I like having the discs there. They make a good backdrop to my Funko collection. So It's like all the DVDs, and then there's Funkos in front of all of them.
I see. You have to have deep shelves for that, though.
Well, I mean, the shelves are like twice as deep as you need for a DVD disc.
Okay. Fair enough. All right. That's it for the feedback this week. Unless you, listener, want to tell us how you alphabetize or organize your actual physical copies of your movie collection media. So with that, I guess we're all just going to hold hands and we're going to jump on out of a perfectly good airplane on the way out of this thing, right?
Yes.
Okay. Yep. Here we go. It's been such a great season, and it's just fun to podcast with y'all about it. So thank you very much, Michelle, Haley, and Lauren, for being on this podcast and podcasting, and we can share it to the world. And they can share back with us their cool thoughts. So I just want to thank you guys for participating. And I can't wait for Infinity War. It's coming.
Thank you. Well, thank you. And thank you to everybody who listens, who tweets us, whether it's during the live tweets, during your own watch through of the show, or if you just think of something that reminds you of us during the week. We love knowing that you're thinking of us, that you're listening to us. You really make us happy. Thank you so much.
I would like to thank Marvel for moving up the release date for Infinity War. That was real, real awesome of them.
It really was. Like I said, best birthday present.
Well, it was because Tony Stark asked.
Mm-hmm.
And what Tony wants, Tony gets.
That's true.
I love it when, this was many years ago, Robert Downey Jr. was doing press and someone in the press said, Tony. And he was just like, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, I am Tony Stark. But yeah, thank you to everybody who listens and downloads, and we really appreciate it.
We do indeed. So we'll be back next week talking a little bit more Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So until next time, I am Director SP.
I'm Agent Haley.
I'm Agent Lauren.
And I'm Consultant Michelle.
Bye. See you guys next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Toodles.
Thank you for listening. If you want to leave us feedback, go to gunnageek.com and you will find all our contact information and other shows. You can also visit legendsofshield.com where you'll find our complete archive of podcasts. The music heard on this podcast is by Kevin MacLeod, found at incompetech.com, and also artists on pond5.com and audiojungle.net. The opinions heard on this podcast are those of the individual hosts and do not represent Stargate Pioneer Productions, Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., or Gunna Geek. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is the property of the Disney Corporation, Marvel Studios, and ABC. No infringement is intended.
Hey.
Hey, Lauren, how are you?
Better.
Good.
Oh my God, it's all four of us.
Oh my God.
Won't happen
first
next week.
In a while.
Who's missing next week? Because it won't happen 2 weeks in a row.
I think I'm here next week.
I think I'm here.
I think I'm here too.
All right.
Holy s***,
not be here just to maintain appearances.
I know.
check.
Bum.
Really okay.
Yeah, okay.
Ooh.
tasty.
That was nice. Yep. Very nice. Very nice. Indeed.
Broadcast has been successfully terminated.
Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is copyright 2018.